installment of Infinite Playroom. As always, I'm your humble host, Stu Padasso. Joining me this week, we have Ironclad Meat Rag.
What's up?
Harry Sackdell.
Hello.
And Bell 91.
What's going on?
All right, guys. Thanks for joining me this week. This is our second attempt at an E3 review. A lot of E3 news coming out this week. This is episode 192 of Infinite Playroom, and we'll be
192 there, Stu.
We just went over this.
What? I'm sorry, 152.
Oh, jeez.
Hey,
laid it up for you.
You know what? That's the beauty of editing. And the dangers of being five.
Not if I keep bringing it up, man.
Don't do that.
192, huh?
Oh, God damn it.
That's what they said at E3?
That's the dangers of being five mixed drinks in this early in the morning.
Oh, my Atlanta.
It is.
In any case, this is our second attempt at an E3 review of 2015. Our last one met with some technical difficulties, so I'll try and splice in some footage or some dialogue from that first, which we recorded Wednesday before E3 was actually finished. But when all the conferences had concluded, I don't know, guys. In my opinion, this is probably the best E3 we've had in at least the last decade. I feel.
Yeah. Which is it's pretty crazy because last year's was pretty memorable too with the whole console war going on.
Yeah, and I know the E3 prior to that, we had, you know, the announcement of the next gen consoles, and I felt like this was even more monumental than a lot of that. I mean, because we actually saw some of that development coming to fruition. So, a lot of good, amazing stuff we'd been waiting years for in many cases.
Kingdom Hearts 3, hands down. Just saying.
I know a lot of people.
Is that a release date during that?
Do you think they gave it a release date?
No release date.
That answers your question.
Now, they, I mean, a lot of the stuff we were waiting for. I know Last Guardian, I don't believe that got a release date either.
No, neither did Final Fantasy VII. So.
No,
but
it didn't.
I saw those. I missed Kingdom Hearts 3. That's why I asked.
Oh, I gotcha. I mean, I just feel like a lot of the stuff worth finally, like, yay, it's coming, but when, I guess, is still... And that's not uncommon for E3, so that's not so much a disappointment, I guess, but... let's go ahead and let Harry Sackdell kind of lead us off the Microsoft. What were the highlights of the Microsoft press conference, Harry?
Big highlights? Halo 5, obviously.
Nice.
I mean, everybody's been looking forward to that. The gameplay was pretty bitchin' looking. The gameplay is really what took over because, I mean, everybody knew that you could play as Locke or Chief, or they expected that anyways.
Is it a choice at the beginning? I mean, did they say whether it's a choice at the beginning or whether it's a kind of like a Halo 2 back and forth?
I don't know if they said it or not. So I don't know if it's going to be a back and forth or if you can just play through one and then play through the other.
Gotcha.
Don't know. Drop in, drop out, co-op. There's always four people. It's kind of like Left 4 Dead. And, you know, you can have four or three of your peoples with you, all playing as Spartans. And
nice.
What was the other thing they did? Oh, the Warzone.
Warzone was a huge... Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I was a little confused on some of this because I did see the trailer, but it said up to 24... Basically, it's a 24-player cooperative experience where you played against AI.
Right.
But I also saw some footage that I was a little confused about where it looked like there was a blue team and a red team fighting AI together. So does that mean up to 48 players facing off against AI and each other?
I have no idea. I really
don't. I didn't see that, yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, if you check out some of the Warzone trailer info, I was on the front page on the Xbox One, and it had a trailer video for Warzone, and it looked like... I definitely saw, a huge amount of blue players fighting off against... But then I also saw some red players in that mix as well, and I thought, shit, 48 players in one map? Dude, that'd be pretty sweet, you know? So I couldn't tell, but that would be an interesting addition for sure.
Yeah,
but Warzone was something that nobody really knew was coming, At least they hadn't released it as yet. It was a pretty well-kept secret, and I thought it was probably the best news of Halo 5 that they put out at E3.
It was, yeah. I mean, it was really the only new... I mean, you could have expected or seen everything else already, but that was really kind of like their little hidden gem that they kept from us.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, what was next up on that conference?
The next really big thing was the announcement of backwards compatibility, which is, I mean, I didn't expect that, really. I don't think anybody did.
It's something I've been calling for a long time, either with Sony or Microsoft. And Sony kind of hit it first, but with a subscription fee. And I kind of think that Microsoft had a pretty good dig at them. We're like, you know, you can play your back, you can play your previous titles that you already own without costing you anything. did you catch that when they threw that out there like that? I was like, oh, dig.
And it's totally free.
Whenever they announced the consoles, and they were like, you know, when Sony put out the here's how you share games kind of thing.
Oh yeah,
You know, Xbox got their got their lunch taken, but they didn't leave without a snack in this situation.
Oh yeah, I kind of feel like they're getting the last word as so far. I mean, we'll see what Sony.
So all the games, it'll be both disc and digital, and there's only a certain amount of games that you can do at the moment, I'm assuming.
They said they're expecting hundreds of titles by holiday. So I think, once again, this is going to be something we see on whether or not they deliver on. Microsoft does have a habit of throwing things out there and not really following through. So I think this is a huge announcement, but it will depend on how well they follow through with it.
Let's see. Oh, and the other thing with the backwards compatibility is that all the screenshots and capture that you can do on your Xbox One will be available to do with those games as well. It's not like it's
nice. I really like that. I
think it's really cool.
Did they say like this is available right away or not?
Not yet.
A select few titles are, I thought.
Oh, really?
All those titles that they announced were available right away?
It was like 18 games or something like that you can do.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
But this holiday, it's like Stu was saying, this is when it's really supposed to, they're going to, you know, have all, they think eventually they're going to have all the games available to play like that, but.
Well, I have a Mass Effect 1, so I'll have to try it out.
Yeah, definitely.
As somebody who has a huge backlog of 360 titles, I'm excited about it, but at the same time, it runs into an issue that I've had with the Xbox, and that's, of course, the hard drive space. I mean, if I were to transfer all of my 360 titles over, I would still significantly cut down on the amount of space I have. And when games for the new console are, you know, 30 to 50 gigabytes, I mean, I really kind of have to weigh my options and say, is it worth getting rid of my 360 to cut down to one console when I'm not going to have any additional room? Now, granted, I know I can get an external, and obviously there's a new larger hard drive system coming out, but it's not out yet, is it? Is it out now?
Well, they have the Call of Duty one.
Correct. The other one. But I meant the $400.
No, not yet, not that I know of. But that's also implying that they make you install 360 games when you play them. Because you might not have to do that.
Well, majority of my 360 titles are digital downloaded. Well, they're downloaded digitally. So, I mean, if they were to open that up and give me access to that, that's how I would have to play them, since I don't have the hard disk or the hard copy. Right. But in any case, I mean, that's 200 plus gigabytes of 360 titles that I may or may not actually go back and play. I mean, some of them are great titles, like Borderlands 2. Yeah, I would definitely play that, but kind of like, why wouldn't I want a remastered edition, you know, for the Xbox One? I mean, I don't know. It just kind of depends on your preferences, but I don't know. For me, I'm still hanging out on my 360 personally.
I haven't even had my hooked up in like the past 3 months.
All right on, right on. Harry, what else you got for us?
There's the new Elite Wireless Controller.
Whoa.
For the serious gamers.
Yeah, way serious. Did you get the price tag on that?
I did not. They didn't have a price tag on it.
$150.
Yeah, nope.
Right? Like, I thought it was a cool concept. You got some extra triggers underneath. That's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, you can sample that stuff in, take it out. You can switch your actual triggers with the flip of a button to hair triggers, and you can, like, I don't know, swap out your
switch between different configurations.
Yeah. you can do all sorts. You can like customize, like you can take a thumbstick out and put like a different one in. All sorts of goofy shit. $150 for me? No way.
That's crazy. $150. Like, I guess if you're a pro gamer, maybe.
I'll go buy Kinect before I do that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's what I would say too. But for the same price as a Kinect, just for a controller, they say it's heavier. They say you have all these opportunities. And the thing is, the base model is $150 to get different like sticks. You have sticks that are higher. You have buttons that are different. Like you can, I guess, replace pretty much everything on the controller. But
that's what it sounded like.
But for that cost, I mean, if the base is $150, how much are the accessories going to cost?
Exactly.
So, no. To me, I guess if you're a pro gamer and you're making money for the competitions you enter, then I guess it might be worth it. But right. For your average gamer, this is not something I would expect.
But other than that, for Microsoft, I mean, there's a bunch of indie games. We saw The Division, World Premiere, Gameplay, yeah. Or whatever.
What were some of the highlight as far as titles? There was one I kind of caught my eye called Ion. Did you catch that one?
I did. I don't know where it's out of my list here. But, yeah, I did remember seeing that.
It looked like a contender to Star Citizen, maybe, or perhaps...
No Man's Sky?
Yeah, I think that's the
it's
one
actually
I was...
actually from the creator of DayZ, Dean Hall. He made an appearance for it.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
It looked pretty good, yeah. Also, what was the other thing? Oh, I think they were saying, like, DayZ would be coming to, early access gaming is coming to the Xbox One, just like on Steam, basically. So you can play these alphas. We'll
say, limited time. Xbox Preview or something like that.
Right, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I feel about that, but.
Yeah.
Well, I think the big one for that was something called Elite Contender or something. Elite Dangerous, yeah, that's what it was. I thought that was one of the titles that was coming to that preview that's available now for like $30 or something.
It's a pretty fun game, actually, that one. So,
yeah,
it's still like, but it's still early access, so like, it's a very limited experience of what it can be and will be in the future, which I just think is unnecessary because every time that happens, they're gonna have
this issues.
Early access and issues, and then like you might get it for less, but. By the time it's finished, I think you're going to be all played out of it, or games that are much, much better are going to be out by then.
Yeah, true. One thing that I thought was really interesting is that, so for the Bethesda press conference, they announced Fallout 4, which was pretty, we had seen the trailer prior to E3 and their conference, and it looked a little underwhelming. They really kind of redeemed themselves, in my opinion, at their press conference. But one of the cool things for Fallout 4 was that the mods that individuals create on PC will be available for free on the Xbox One. Right. What'd you guys think about that?
That was one of my next big topics, actually.
I think that's way cool. I think that's the first time we've really seen this type
The first time anybody's ever done that.
Absolutely.
So all the mods made on PC by all those crazy people on Steam and this and that, they can, I guess, upload them to something and it'll be shareable and transferable to only the Xbox One for free.
Yeah, I think they call it Bethesda. It's just Bethesda.net.
Bethesda.net, yeah.
Well, and I think that has something to do with the cross-platform ability, I guess is the word I'll use, between Windows 10 and perhaps PC. So I think if it works with Windows 10, they'll be able to bring that over to the Xbox One, maybe. So I mentioned that mainly because some of the bigger news from the conference was that their partnership with Oculus. Did you guys catch that?
Yep.
So that was, to me, really amazing that Oculus is going to ship with a 360 controller and that the marketplace will support the Xbox One titles.
Yeah, that was a pretty big deal.
Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing, in my opinion. Very interesting and kind of a shortcut for Microsoft, catching up with Sony, what I'll say, with their Morpheus project, which I feel is way ahead of the curve in a lot of situations over HoloGlass.
So on the whole backwards compatibility thing,
yeah.
Do you feel like maybe it was possible you know, and now they're treating this new technology as if it were a new technology, and it's not.
If it was possible, what?
From the get-go.
Oh, I'm sure it was. I'm sure this was...
Well, emulators have something that have been around for decades, and
oh,
I mean...
But they were swearing up and down that, I'm sorry, you guys, we just can't do it. I mean, they had to fire a CEO over this question, if you recall.
I think the CEO is more of an issue of how he I think it was more of his attitude towards towards the always on, if I remember correctly. Are you speaking of the guy who went to Zynga?
Don Matic, yeah.
Don Matic, yeah, that's right.
If it would play older games, and he goes, we already have a machine for that. It's called the Xbox 360.
Yeah, actually, I do remember that now.
Wasn't that more about the always on? Wasn't there like, well, what if you have, you know, what if you don't have connectivity in certain areas or something? But I mean,
okay,
regardless.
Actually, you might be right.
I mean, it's, no. But I do think it was his attitude as a whole.
I remember that quote by somebody, though. Someone saying, like, someone was questioning that. And
yeah, and he
said
that's
why we have the 360.
Yeah.
And now even Zynga kicked his ass out, but I don't want to get off track.
No, it's all good. We were just commenting on the Oculus partnership and possibly what that partnership could bring to either Oculus or Microsoft one way or another.
Okay.
But in any case, I will say that I thought Microsoft had a very strong showing, but it was more of a hardware side of things and development side of things, whereas I feel Sony... which that's kind of what I want to talk about next. Vigai, were you able to catch the actual Sony conference?
Most of it, yeah.
Great, great. What were some highlights that you caught?
Oh my God, highlights! I don't know. A million dreams came true.
Yeah,
it's hard to start, you guys, but I think the obvious place to start would be the Final Fantasy VII remix.
Oh man.
I heard on a podcast day before yesterday some guy talking about how he's known for a year and it was the funnest secret ever to keep.
I bet.
The most awful secret to keep.
Yeah,
I
what
feel
a dick.
Like. Fuck that.
I don't know. If you're a pro troll, that would be pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I guess he teased people by saying it. Was he like, I don't know, is it coming out? Like,
you guys just wait.
Yeah, I don't know. If he didn't say a word, that must
if he had a brain in his head, he didn't
inside.
Say a word. Or
oh, right, yeah.
Must have killed on the inside.
But I do feel like, I mean, you guys saw the CG trailer, right?
Oh, yeah.
It looked amazing. Oh, my God, it looked so good. I could not wait.
It was almost weird to see real, like, realistic body types. Like, Barrett's arm gun was, like, the shape and size of a normal arm.
It looked like something more out of Deus Ex rather than the Final Fantasy we know and love.
Right, but what I loved was that even though the human forms from the back that you saw looked normal, the Buster Sword was still goddamn
ridiculous. Oh, goddamn right. It was awesome.
Which is important. That needs to remain.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
It's going to be interesting going down the road to see what things we love that they keep and what things they have to change.
Do you guys think that they will change the main story points at all?
I think they're going to flesh it out and make it feel modern.
I think they could flip it around, to be honest. You know, the more and more they talk about it, they said this is not a typical, you know, remake. This is going to be something new. So my big thing, obviously, is a big, you know, spoiler alert for anybody that hasn't played it. But, you know, I think the big change in the game is going to be something different. And I talked to you about this, I guess it was Monday?
I think so, yeah.
About the... what if they change the gameplay style instead of turn-based? You know how Final Fantasy 15 is?
Yep.
Because we've come a long way. Is that going to piss people off? You know what I mean? Or is that going to be awesome? You never know.
It could be awesome. I think it's going to piss people off. This game is going to piss people off no matter what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, everybody's got their arms folded. It's whatever.
I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. But from what we've seen so far, I love it. It looks so awesomely great. I know that was just CG, not gameplay, but still looks amazing. Part of me, I'm not going to lie, I would like to see it hold true to the original, but part of me would not be sad, and once again, spoiler alert, but if somehow they manage to keep Aeris alive, I will not cry, you know, this time. I would be...
I'll keep her alive, but I think they'll give you a way to get her back.
You think so? You think so? I thought maybe somebody else in the party, you know? I don't know.
They'll never. No way.
What would it be like for a planet full of video game fans to be playing a character who you know you're going to lose? That's true. A new remake. They have to change something there.
I don't know. I think if you change it, then that changes it too much. I don't know.
I've heard rumors back in the day that there originally were plans laid out in the game.
To bring her back?
Bring her back, but it just, you know, they had a date, deadline or something.
There's actually some kind of glitch to where you could do it. Like, it's after that cutscene, yet somehow you could still play as her. It doesn't change the storyline at all.
Yeah.
It's just some kind of weird glitch that they had in the game. I don't think it'll happen. I think they'll, even though people know that she's going to die, because I knew when I played and I just didn't level her up. I mean,
see, and that's where we differ, because I was unaware of that, and it broke my heart. Like, I did not finish the game because of that. Like, that's really? How emotional I was. So I'm really looking forward to getting hands-on, actually completing the actual game,
you know,
even
I
after
hope
this.
They find a new and inventive way to kick gamers in the stomach.
I'm with you on that. I'm still Aeris is my girl. I ain't gonna lie. I'm still gonna choose her, and I'm still going to like give her all the pimp equipment that I come across in hopes that they do something right this time. But we'll see. We'll see.
Well, other than the Final Fantasy VII remake, there was also, you know, new footage finally after years and years and years of The Last Guardian.
Gameplay footage,
and it looked amazing.
What'd you think of this? For as long as we've waited, do you think it was done sufficiently?
As far as the way things work in the game, yes, it's exactly what I've been hoping for. I mean, the thing behaves like a dog with chicken feet, and it's giant. But I have to say, the graphics look like, you know, at best an early PS3 game.
That's what I thought. I was a little disappointed for as long as they've been working on it.
I mean, considering it's going to be a PS4 title, they're going to find a way to dress it up. We'll see.
Let me ask you this. Do you think this game could have come out on PS3?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So the fact that Sony said, hey, we can't wait on you guys any longer, we're coming out with the PS4, adapt. Do you think that's going to hurt it at all?
Mm. How would it?
Maybe well, it shouldn't. Expectations being higher is what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know. They'd have to F it up pretty bad for that to happen. I mean, people who love Shadow of the Colossus and Eco have been waiting a long time, and the developer is saying that what he's aiming for is basically a combination of those two games. So
fair enough.
That's fair what enough. It ends up being. I don't think I'll be disappointed.
I feel it looked good. I felt like it could have looked maybe a little better, but as far as the gameplay goes, I mean, it was about what I expected from the developer, so I wasn't mad about that. But for as long as we've been waiting, I kind of wanted more on some level, which I don't know if I have a right to feel, but that's what I felt.
But there were lots of others. The main announcement that made me giddy like a schoolgirl was the sequel to Nier, N-I-E-R.
Yes, I saw a lot more of that with the Square Enix coverage. I was telling the guys before the show, I went back and caught the Square Enix press conference, Ubisoft, and the EA. And the Square Enix was really probably outside of Microsoft, out of the big three, this was probably the most news that we got, in my opinion, from Square Enix. And Nier was near the top of that list, so...
And, I mean, not only are they coming out with... It was shocking, really, as a gamer, that they're doing any kind of sequel, because this game, it wasn't a flop, but it's a sleeper. I mean, this is a gaming podcast, and I'm the only one who's ever heard of this game, am I right?
Yeah.
Before you mentioned it, yeah, I was not familiar with it.
Well, the soundtrack was startlingly remarkable, and this time, even though the controls in the original PS3 game were great for the combat, because it's an action JRPG, they're bringing Platinum Games on board just to do the combat. So that alone speaks volumes about what a big deal this is in Japan.
Right on. Yeah, definitely something I'm looking forward to. But I don't believe that was actually mentioned at the Sony press conference, was it?
No, they saved that for the Squaresoft one, so I'm starting
okay.
to find threads.
No trouble. Let's see. The next thing I kind of wanted to hit on after the Sony conference, which, don't get me wrong, Last Guardian, Final Fantasy VII Remake were huge. I would say those were probably some of the biggest news of E3, just because they had been so anticipated. But let me head over to Bethesda, which was probably the first conference I actually saw in its entirety. Of course, we got more Doom news, which, I don't know, we probably got at least 15 minutes of Doom footage. Was that about right? I mean, was that about
that
long?
It was, yeah, About 15 minutes.
I mean, we saw everything from Super Shotgun to, excuse me, to hints of the BFG. Oh man, that was so awesome. The finishing moves. Oh my god.
Yeah, that was intense.
Dude.
He made him eat his own foot.
That was awesome. Yeah. Oh man, I think we saw that two times in the demo they were running. But there were so many different ones. That was pretty sweet. And the pacing was what you expected from a Doom shooter.
They did exactly what they were set out to do, you know, to keep it that old school fast pace, strafe away Doom.
Yeah. And they showed hell too, which is
that was way cool. I didn't expect that at all.
And it looks good.
Story though? I never really heard much on story about it.
No, nothing on story. It was all pretty much just gameplay they wanted to show mostly. Because it's still a revamp, so I'm pretty sure most of the people that are fans of Doom know what the storyline's going to be about. But I guess they're just keeping it all hush-hush right now.
Yeah, I mean, Doom, you don't have to put too much into it, but I was just kind of curious what they were trying to do there. So.
Yeah, I think they were just, everybody was awaiting any kind of Doom news, so they decided to do gameplay more than story.
Yeah, I don't know, I thought it was definitely, especially with the previous teaser that we had seen, that this was more...
5 second.
Oh yeah, right. Did you guys watch any of that pre-show? They showed that 5 second, like, I think about 10 times.
Yeah, like, wait, I sneezed.
Wait, what was that again?
But,
oh yeah, there it is.
I liked, even though, I mean, this isn't much of a spoiler, it's because it's probably not storyline, but like at the end of the video, the first time, they show your character that you play as die, but like, I don't think it's going to be story. It's just like what your death is going to look like if you do
right.
die.
That's and what I took it as well, like, yeah.
Oh my god, that's even better.
Yeah, yeah, and but that was before
showing that, you know, all the cutscenes that you can do to them, they can do some shit to you too.
But that was before the Hell trailer, right?
Yes, that was still.
Yeah. Okay. I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, that was a really good, cool stuff for sure. But to kind of move on to Fallout 4, which was Bethesda's next big announcement, they really added a significant amount of crafting to Fallout, everything from running power lines to power turrets to building your own two-story structure. Everybody who played Fallout 3 remembers you had the opportunity to find a home base in that initial city, or maybe it was the second city you came across. But it looks like this time you can build it anywhere, and you can build it up to significant size to be a legitimate town, to where you can actually have caravans running in between your cities, from what it sounded like. So I think that was a very a huge step, because I was going to say I really need to do something different with the gameplay to really draw me in, and I think this did it for me. What do you guys think? Is this something that interests you?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah. That part of it did, yeah. There's some interesting takes on both sides of the story. Just like when it came to gameplay, like such as the
Vats
station that you're talking about, all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, the dog, like some of the storyline, but and the Vats too, which is also very interesting. There's some things on the other side that are just kind of strange, like how much it looks like
Fallout 3.
Well,
yeah.
Same with The Last Guardian. I think that's going to change, you know?
Yeah.
I think we're probably lucky to see gameplay, period.
Yeah, but Last Guardian doesn't have a
release date
coming out. That's Fallout 3 or Fallout 4 is coming out this year.
Yeah.
Months.
November, right?
Wait, was it November, right? So
yeah.
I guess 5 months.
Yeah,
which I like. I will say this is what I want to see for games. I want to see a release date within 6 months of hearing about it. I mean, I know we heard about Fallout 4, was it days before E3 officially, now we have a release date that's before the end of the year. That's awesome to me. Like, well, that's what I want to see.
To answer the question of, you know, what's it going to look like, I think we should ask ourselves something that I've been asking myself ever since, for example, the Elder Scrolls Online came out. Can we expect beautiful textures and true vastness out of a game?
I think so. I think it looked better than Fallout 3, but...
Well, that's why I think it could look much better, just because look at the jump, even though they're on the same console, look at the jump between Oblivion and Skyrim. Like, I can't believe that they have a brand new console, two brand new consoles to work on, and they still can't make it look any... They can make that vastness. I mean, Skyrim was fucking huge, and they can't. and the map even, everything looked great in it, and they have a new console and they can't make Fallout 4 look a little more better, not the exact same bland color of a wasteland.
Like, well, I feel like Fallout 4 looks at least as good as Skyrim. Yeah, maybe a little like even more color, maybe even a little better.
Yeah, that's true. But still, I still think that it being on par with Skyrim and how long ago Skyrim was, that they can make it look much better.
You're gonna buy it on day one anyway.
I don't know about that personally, but
yeah, I don't know. Depends on what it comes or it's surrounded by. Because I Fair think that what did they give? They gave Metal Gear 5 a release date too. And Halo 5. There's a lot of games coming out.
Yeah, we did get quite a few release dates. Another game I wanted to talk about, and like I said, I know there's a shit ton of information to go over, so unfortunately this is Father's Day, and I kind of have some previous obligations that I'm going to have to meet, so we got another maybe 15 minutes tops.
I think it's best to skim over things anyway. We've got plenty of podcasts.
Oh, that's true. And there's always a lull after E3 for all the news. So, but one thing I did want to touch on is something that we've all been looking forward to, at least most of us I know, is The Division. We did see some other gameplay. Let me ask you guys this. Are you guys feeling any type of watchdog-ness from The Division at this point?
A little bit. I think it's totally not what everybody was expecting it to be.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
I'm a little worried. We do have a release date of March 8th, 2016 for The Division. The gameplay that they showed was something called the Dark Zone, and it looked like it gave you the opportunity to either team up. I don't know if you guys watched the gameplay.
I did.
So it lets you actually work with other agents to, defeat some opponents or whatnot. But then at the end of that, the agents that were working together turned on each other and fucking killed them out to pick up the extra spoils. Did you see that?
Yeah, my understanding of the Dark Zone is that it's kind of like, you know, a lawless
PvP zone.
Anybody can do anything and you can't do anything about it. So
Grand Theft Auto kind of.
And this personally turned me off. Like, this is not, like, I don't play a game to get fucked over by other players.
But that's why it's called the Dark Zone.
It's a choice.
And then I can give you that. And I'm all right with that. That's cool. I don't have to fuck with it if I don't want to. So fair enough. But I hear all the good loot and stuff is going to be there. So that is kind of a contingent to that. But
it kind of sounds like an element straight out of Sword Art Online.
Well played. Yeah, I'll give you that. I like that. Overall, the most intriguing part of The Division is the cross-platform ability between tablets and consoles and PC, and seeing how all that works together to help you achieve whatever goal you're working on. So to that point, it seems to be holding up. I have more hope for it than I had for Watch Dogs, but it's Ubisoft, and I have trouble trusting Ubisoft. Is that just me, or you guys feel that way too?
Yeah, same. They're becoming way too EAE.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. I wouldn't put them quite that far down the ladder, but I could see that. Sure. Mentioning EA, we did get a release date for Star Wars Battlefront. November 17th, 2015. This might be one I pick up. Did you guys catch the gameplay for it?
Yes.
I thought it looked really good. It looked really good.
Yeah, I've been waiting gameplay for a while, too, on that, because we saw that trailer, you know, it was probably about a month before E3 with they call it the in-game footage and all that, but actual gameplay with... all I saw was kind of like that horde mode that they had going on. I didn't really see the multiplayer aspect of it, but yeah, it looked really... I don't know, because I was afraid when this came out that it might not be as good as I thought, because I played the crap out of Battlefront 2, and I don't know, I just didn't think that... I don't know. I just didn't think it was going to be able to transfer over to a new console or multiplayer that it is today. It's just not the same like it was back in the day, so I didn't know.
Yeah, I give you that. I didn't know. I don't know if you guys caught this article, but it said Battlefront has done the impossible. And I think this was over on Polygon, but it compared it to, I guess, Kanye West went to E3 And he is notorious for once realizing being caught on camera, he refuses to smile. And there is a picture of him with the developers posing just a shit-eating grin after playing the demo that was available. And they
so he'll only smile when it's rubbing it in your face.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, hey, whatever. I think perhaps it does, you know, speak to the ability of the developers, but most likely that's probably it. But I don't know. I thought that was an amusing article. I was like, done the impossible. How? What'd they do? I saw that trailer. What are they talking about? They compared it to Kanye smiling. I thought that was really funny. If you head over to Polygon and check it out, it's amusing nonetheless. But
yeah.
The Square Enix one had a lot. Nier's Vigai mentioned Rise of the Tomb Raider. I know you guys probably didn't play it, but Hitman Go was an Android release for a mobile device. It looks like they're following that up with a Tomb Raider Go version. I was excited about that. I know that was something that wasn't heavy on the when they were talking about their conferences. But another mobile device I was interested in was Kingdom Hearts Unchained Key, which supposedly ties into Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah, and it catches you up on the storyline also.
Yeah. Now, I guess this title's been out overseas in Japan for a little while already, but they are bringing it stateside, and I was happy to hear that, because you guys know I'm a fan of the mobile titles, and this one is one that I'm happy to see. I've fucked around with a few of the Kingdom Hearts titles, but never really finished any of them, but this is one that I'd check out. I'd check out for sure.
They're apparently supposed to be different, too, from the one that was in Japan, because it was like a free-to-play browser game.
Oh, yeah?
But I mean, it's the same thing, but they said it's different somehow, and then, like, in the coming months, they're going to explain how it's different, which it looks the same to me, because I had an account with, I guess it's Yahoo Japan or whatever.
Oh,
I tried
okay.
to do it, but I didn't get very far, because I got frustrated with their foreign made-up language. So
I don't know if you can call Japanese a made-up language.
it was made up enough to
It's not English.
There you go, and it's not real, therefore.
Yeah.
Fair enough. let's see. For the EA conference, there was a collectible card game that they are releasing called Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, a new Star Wars card game. That mixed with the Bethesda announcement of... I'm getting confused here.
What are you talking about, the card game?
What was the Elder Scrolls card game?
Yeah, it's Elder Scrolls. I forget Legends. The name of it. Oh, yeah, Legends.
That's right. No, that was Bethesda. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's why, yeah, you brought that up, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, combined with that, this is looking... I don't know. I think with the success of Hearthstone and you see games like Gwent being popularized.
Debatable.
What do you mean, eh? What do you mean, eh?
Because it's you talking about it.
Oh, son of a bitch. You know what? I was
biased.
I was actually playing The Witcher 3 last night, and I was telling my wife how you
and
guys
you
think
play
I have...
You just played Gwent all night.
Not even true. I told my wife how you guys feel I have an addiction to playing the side game. She goes, side game? I thought that was a major part of the game. I see you play so much.
Told you.
Oh, no.
She's like, I thought it was a card game with this, like, third-person content on the side.
Yeah, she's like, oh, when did Pokemon go?
Maybe he does have a problem. He's not even playing the real game.
I haven't seen him swing a fucking sword. This is weird.
That's funny. But in any case, I do feel like the monetization of Hearthstone has really kind of pushed a lot of companies into this collectible card game arena, if you will. And I think they're all going to try and say, hey, play our free-to-play card game with this.
Did they say if that Elder Scrolls Legend one, was that mobile?
Yes, that's a mobile one. Actually, they said they've been working with the Apple guys to make that one work as well.
Yeah, sorry to go on a tangent, though.
No.
But they also have rumors that that Fallout Shelter game is coming to Android in the coming months.
Yes, the next few months. Yeah, we did hear that as well. So I was looking forward to that. But
You brought Tomb Raider, which kind of brought me up or just reminded me of it. It's not the same game, obviously, but that what was the name of it? But it was that post-apocalyptic, but
Horizon.
Yeah, there it is.
That was one of the takeaways from the Sony conference that I couldn't get. I mean, I thought that you know what it reminded me of? Turok,
yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, oh, so much so.
Like, really good Turok, though, not that shitty
game
they came out with.
Whoa, you didn't like the remake?
Oh, God.
Oh, come on. I liked the original, too, though, but I actually enjoyed the remake, I will say that, but I'm a diehard Turok fan.
I almost threw out my Xbox with the disc in it because I was so pissed off.
And just to think, I agreed with you in our made-up language of Japanese stuff. Now I'm just on a different side.
we got to have one of each.
Well, you know, it balanced.
I don't know. I think this game looks very good.
I thought it was super interesting. Now, granted, it is a post-apocalyptic future, but nothing like Fallout, where it's like a few hundred years. This is like 1,000 years in the future, to where machines have kind of their own animal-like individual identities, I guess, would be a good way to describe it.
Well, and I like the fact that it's a post-apocalyptic world that isn't a huge, crappy desert wasteland. Like, I like the fact that it's not, I'm tired of
Exactly. It's so far in the future that nature has began to reclaim certain things. But nature with a mechanical aspect, which I thought was a great take on this.
It just seemed like there was, maybe it's just the way they put it together, the presentation, but it just seemed like there were interesting buildings and structures everywhere.
Overgrown with vines and trees, very much like Last of Us.
Yeah.
And they pointed out that I forgot which one it is. I think it's they might be in, I think, the France area. There's actual icons like actual buildings that they use.
Oh, really? I missed that.
I saw it on Reddit. I'll have to try and look up the
Post. From Boston, you mean?
No, it was more like I don't really remember the building, but it has like kind of this strange structure that is memorable on England side of the country.
Like Big Ben or something.
Yeah, like something like that, but we wouldn't recognize it noticeably, but they would, and someone circled it and noticed it out, and it just looks like a shell of that building identically, and then
that's cool.
The buildings around it kind of match that skyline, so it's kind
of... I mean, Boston is on the eastern end of our country, so there's some history there. Now, when in the Fallout world, about what year in the real world does nuclear holocaust happen? I would say sometime in the 50s, from the music
I still don't understand how to take Fallout's timeline, though. Because it's like, it's kind of like that the 50s view on the future, what the future was going to be. Like, remember they had the Conference of Tomorrowland or whatever.
It
was where they would have, like, you know, 50-size car, but they'd be floating.
Right, and basically it's an alternate reality where the 50s happened, and then as soon as the 50s end...
We saw this in the trailer, though, that this Fallout actually takes place prior to the nuclear bombings. So you kind of already have certain aspects. And then when you come out of the vault, it's about 200 years after the bombing.
Which the other one was only, 20 years after the bombing?
I think so, something like that. I mean, you still had radiation zones from big craters and things in Fallout 3 that you kind of had to be aware of, otherwise you'd... Your radiation levels will get too high and you die. All right, guys. I want to thank my co-hosts for joining me this week. I want to go ahead and thank our listeners for taking the time to listen to our E3 rants. There is much more we have to say about this year's E3, which is probably the best in a long time. And a special thanks to Bell91 for taking the time to join us. Thank you, sir, and we hope to see you in the future. And as we're fond of saying, don't get caught.
See ya.
Love your face.